This is the first recording of the Heretical Podcast. My name is Captain Adam John Booker.
You're not the captain.
No, I'm doing my intro, don't interrupt me.
You're not the captain.
No, I'm doing my intro, can you not interrupt?
Not in the podcast, not on the boat, not ever. You never will be the captain.
I'll start this podcast again if you carry on.
What's your position? Has everyone else decided for you?
Boat drunkard.
Yeah.
Right, so this is Boat Drunkard Adam John Booker, captain, and this is the first recording of the Heretical Podcast. And join me today, have you already heard, is Tom Bridges.
What's my title? You got a title?
Boat Slut.
That's neither fair nor accurate.
It's entirely accurate. Accurate.
Be Master of the Poop Deck.
Brigadier Bum Bandit, how's that?
No.
Nice bit of alliteration for you there.
No, because I think Brigadier is an army rank anyway, so that's...
Yes, the Bum Army. I assume you're in the Bum Army.
It's all the way to bums with you.
Alright, okay, what do you want? You want to be something for the poop deck, what was it? Something poop deck.
Poop what? Admiral of the poop deck. I haven't thought this through.
No, it's alright. Well, you know, I think we'll keep it as boat slut for the moment.
Right,
then.
Cheers. Next time. I'll have a better one.
I'll look up
some nautical terms.
Right, so we've had a bit of a movie evening. Do you want to tell me what film you've just been watching and that you, I assume you thoroughly enjoyed?
Well, as you might be able to tell, I am still recovering from the first time from ever watching Pacific Rim. Wow.
I've seen it before, but, you know, describe it to me in your own words.
I don't know if the English language has enough words.
Well,
it's amazing.
If you need to, you can resort to Chinese. It's absolutely fine.
I don't know any Chinese.
Oh.
Well, if you don't know it, Pacific Rim concerns the invasion of giant monsters from another dimension / world.
Yeah.
Which come from under the sea, obviously.
Yeah.
And must be fought with giant robots.
Well, there's nothing else to fight them with, is there?
Obviously not.
No.
Am
I right in thinking that the first one that came through, it rampaged for quite a while because there was nothing big enough to take it down?
The first one rampaged for quite a while.
Yeah.
Then the second one rampaged for quite a while.
Yeah.
Then the third.
Yeah.
Then the fourth.
Yeah.
At which point they learnt that they needed something better to take it on. That's not verbatim. I mean, you know, the line was better, but that's pretty much how it happened there.
Yeah, it is.
Guys, I think we need to think of a strategy. No, it's okay. I mean, we're doing all right. We've only had, was it three or?
It's only three so far. So
how many millions of billions of people have died? I mean, there's some left.
There won't be another one, will there?
No.
Oh no, there's another one.
How many have we had now? Was it? I'm gonna be honest. After one, I'd be like, whoa, hang on. Matt being from another dimension, which nearly destroyed half the world. We need to do something about this.
Mm.
They had like three, and were still like, huh, well, it's probably only three. I mean, we thought there'd only be one, but there's definitely only ever going to be three, so we can stop worrying now.
Well, yeah, it was like...
Four? No, oh, quick, right.
Oh, so shit.
Let's build some robots. Robots!
Ah, okay, so that stupidity aside, that, you know, they start off...
I mean, that's the beginning.
That's the beginning.
You're only about... That's in the setup.
5 minutes in, maybe?
Less. You're like 30, 40 seconds in.
Yeah.
And you've already had the first big stupid. But it's very lovable. Before,
oh, it's
before
we go any further... It's a beautiful film. It is.
It's very fun.
It makes you want to own a giant robot of your own.
I really enjoyed it. It's the kind of film that you're aware it's very silly, but it's aware it's very silly.
Was
it's
it?
Okay. There's explosions and monsters and robots.
How do you describe it?
B
film?
It's like an 80s B movie, and they've just gone, let's make a brilliant B movie, which is massive, like monsters and explosions and bad acting, but it'd be brilliant because now we've got computers and we can do the monsters even better animated. It'd be great.
Let's see how much money we can pour into a B movie.
And then they did, and it's just like good silly fun. But there is a lot which makes my brain did hurt.
My biggest problem with it was the wall.
The wall, yeah. That was a good. Although that I really enjoyed this, like they tore down their own rubbish idea because it's so obviously a rubbish idea. After they've shown how big these monsters are and the power of them, you've just spent the first kind of quarter of an hour setting up that these are gargantuanly powerful beasts.
That will just break through everything's man-made.
And then you've got some guys with some steel girders and a couple of bits of concrete building something that was what, you know, 100 feet tall or something. Like, considering the monsters we've already shown that are like 500 feet. They're massive.
Yeah.
They're huge. Unless they would just step straight over this wall.
Unless they were able to... Oh, yeah, well, that one could fly over it. There was one that just like, oh, I'm getting my ass kicked now. Oh, it turns out I've suddenly got wings. But it's just the fact that, yeah, it just kind of, it seemed like a hollow wall. The initial level of concrete didn't seem that thick to just try and stop a 500-foot monster. I mean, unless they were able to construct some kind of cliff face that was 100 feet thick of concrete.
I was trying to, when they first mentioned it, I then immediately tried to picture, like, how big is this wall going to have to be? Like,
yeah.
How could you build a wall big enough? Those creatures are pretty big. How big would it actually have to be to actually keep them out?
You'd have... We're talking...
Like half a mile thick a mile wide.
I'm thinking, you know, the superstructures from Judge Dredd?
Yes.
That sort of height.
Yeah.
But just a row of them all the way around. But just not made for the apartment buildings, but they're just solid blocks of concrete, you know, a kilometre high.
I'm not...
Surrounding a coastline. Otherwise, the monster's just going to walk around until it fires the edge so it can get onto the...
And weren't they saying that wasn't there a monster every few weeks, or, like, it was speeding up, it was every few months, or, like, how long would it take to build a wall? They were building one, like, they were talking about the wall they were building around Australia. That's quite a big country. That's quite a large... stretch.
Anything, they should have, you know, narrowed it down and built it around the rift, maybe.
Oh, what, to contain them?
Contain the rift, rather than, like, try and surround all the continents. Just sort of maybe push it into the sea a bit, and then just get everyone to work together and just build a massive sort
That's
of just
a
ring.
If all of the monsters were appearing out of the rift, why didn't they just station, like, loads of the robots...
Around the rift.
Right around the rift.
Yeah.
Like, just in a circle around it, with, like, loads and loads of guns and whatnot, just completely ready. With
or
a massive...
swords. Just everyone with swords.
We'll get onto swords.
All right, okay.
Let's not rush onto swords. That's a kettle of fish in itself. But, yeah, that's a very good point, actually. You could have just... Right, containment.
I mean, if they needed a platform to, like, repair and build the robots, they could...
I'm pretty sure you could build that.
Like, duct tape a few battleships together, or, like, aircraft carriers. That's just good. Have a big...
We have battleships, aircraft carriers, oil rigs.
Yes.
You get those massive ships that you could put other ships on.
And it turns out that the kaiju have a weakness against ships. If they get hit with a ship, it does a lot more damage than a normal punch as well.
If you pick up a boat and
hit the kaiju, it gets hurt a lot. Ooh. As opposed to a big metal solid fist. A hollow boat does a lot more damage.
Ooh. Let's try and work chronologically the film.
Okay.
So they set the wall, which was not the best idea. But then they did say, they showed it being smashed through, and then, like, everyone was like, this is a terrible idea.
Well, yeah, that was it. The people who were funding the war was like, right, we're not funding the eggs anymore. We're going to start funding the war because we think it's a much more viable option. And then the war breaks, and those guys aren't heard from again. It's like, oh, all that money we were pouring into the war, do you want it for the Jaegers? Because, you know, this is humanity's last hope. No, they just kind of just left it. They just left it.
We don't have any other ideas at all. We'll build a bit more wall and then probably die. That's the best we can do.
Can imagine what else they were doing.
Best we can hope for.
Yeah, well,
we've liquidated the wall money. We're spending it on hookers. And so much cocaine. So much.
So much cocaine. Like a mountain of cocaine.
Yeah, everybody in the country, free cocaine and hookers till Tuesday, which is when we'll all be dead.
That's when the apocalypse was.
Yeah.
Unless the apocalypse was cancelled, which,
as we find out later,
it
was.
It's the plan.
Spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers. They want to cancel the apocalypse.
Yeah.
All right, so story follows one devilishly handsome dude who is working with his brother, takes on a kaiju. They have their asses handed them. I don't know how these kaijus have been. You get introduced to your Jaeger. And
Jaeger is the giant robot.
The giant robot.
Jaeger was German for hunter, and kaiju...
I always go with the liquor.
And kaiju...
You know, like, Jaeger bombs and stuff.
Right. I think it at the beginning of the film, there was at the opening kind of title, it said... Kaiju, like, giant monster, and then Jaeger, hunter.
Was
it? It was, like, as in, that's the translation.
Were
that's,
they written in words?
That's literally what the words
I probably
mean.
No, I wasn't going to pay attention to that.
The words have meaning.
Was there any flashing lights or pictures going on behind it?
No, it was just... I see what you're saying there. Okay, that's why you zoned out. You
yeah, well, I mean, I don't remember that at all. I think... Are you sure?
Yeah, 100%.
So Jaeger
It means hunter.
Aside from
alcohol,
it means hunter.
Right, so you just thought it meant awesome because it's like drinks.
Yeah, it's like, you know, slightly strong liquor. They're big, strong robots. It made sense to me. Oh yeah, okay. So yeah, what my point was is that they introduced a Jaeger. It's like, oh, this one's from Russia, and they've been holding the Russian coastline for God knows how long. And this one by itself,
I think it was six months.
They go into one fight, and they get destroyed. Yeah. You know, there's there's the Chinese triplets or the Japanese triplets, and they have like a three armed robot, which also doesn't quite make sense because they've all still got two arms.
I think it was because they were triplet. They realised like, we've got another person who can control like an arm, because I think the idea was you don't control too much
of it, okay.
On your own, and so you have two people kind of one each side.
But why didn't they get like,
because they were like triplet, why didn't they find like octuplets? Let's get to that later as well.
Give the Jaeger like an extra leg, so it's like more stable fighting platform. Maybe give it a couple of guns, so one guy's just focusing on guns and one arm, one guy's got like a leg and an arm, the other guy got a leg
rather than an awkward kind of like weird fetus-y arm coming from the armpit underneath the other arm.
It was rather fetus-y, even on a robot.
And do you think they had to? Did they swap around? Do you think, or did one brother always get the rubbish arm?
I always assume there was one that got the rubbish arm.
I like the image of the guy like rock paper scissors every time, like rock paper. Oh, for sake! Oh God!
When you first see them, they're having a game of basketball, but it's two against one.
And there's the one in the middle.
And I assume that's the one that always gets the fetus arm.
He's always got a fetus.
Oh, you guys are so mean. Why can't I ever go with, the right arm?
Shut up, Gerald.
Shut up.
Shut up. You're the smallest. You're stupid.
You know you're mum's least favourite. You don't get to use a proper arm. All right, okay, so the Jaegers are a solution to the war with the kaiju, and so that progresses. The main protagonist of the film has a fight with the kaiju, gets his ass handed to him, loses his brother, and just sort of has a big tantrum for 5 years about it.
He becomes a bit of a dropout. So, he kind of goes off. And they kind of realise that, actually, these giant robots aren't really doing very well anymore, so we'll just kind of
build a wall.
We'll kind of stop doing it. And so it all kind of phases out, and so it's on its last legs, the whole giant robots project. But then they have a last ditch effort. They realise that everyone's probably going to die. Next week.
Even though it seems to be the world against the kaiju, everyone should be working together. They only have two scientists actually working on the problem of what's happening.
Yeah, it's all the whole project gets downgraded and downgraded. So, you know, they're not concentrating on the giant robots project anymore. So we're just running on it. You know, we're the renegades now. Whatever, we're not the mainstream.
So if they're the renegades, what are the armies of the world doing? They just sort of sat back. Like, oh look, there's China getting destroyed.
What can we do?
What are we gonna do with these B-52s?
We'll leave it.
We'll just watch.
So it gets thinned down and the crew is tiny. It's the two researchers. But then as they're walking through, they're introducing the two scientists, they're walking through the base. There are literally hundreds of people busying themselves in the base.
Also,
other than keeping like background actors and like support actors and everything like in business, you know, it's brilliant.
Why are there guards?
What are they guarding?
And what are they guarding from? They're just the guys with guns. They're the last line of defense against the kaijus.
Yeah, just
like,
in case.
One gets past the they get past the Jaegers. It's a group of guys with 9mm. It's like, right, lads, it's down to us now. Aim for the eyes.
Two guys with a fair gun.
Oh yeah, the two.
But yeah, there's a massive budget for I don't know catering for like hospitality. There was a lot of people,
a lot of dudes moving stuff around, Again, RC with main actors getting in the way of them.
Yeah, a lot of hospitality management and like stuff, but nobody in the research.
Mm.
So I don't know, maybe they need to relook at their kind of hiring.
Yeah, they probably need to, like, maybe that one guy shouldn't be in charge of everything. Maybe he should delegate and have people
the HR division of the giant robots, terrible.
Absolutely. Terrible. It seems some people were getting preferential treatment, definitely. But yeah, so the story progresses where shit's getting pretty real, and so they're reaching out to the old Jaeger pilot.
Yeah, let's get the pilots back in, because you need two pilots to pilot the giant robots.
Because they're so big, you need two brains.
It's so complicated, it's really hard. And so all of the best pilots, most of the pilots are twins or triplets, like the
or just a married couple, the Russians.
Father and son, the weird, creepy couple.
I'm pretty sure they were dating.
Were they? I assume they were dating, unless they were brother and sister. I'm not sure that was ever. But then they're like, well, we've got you kind of couple odd pilot. You've known each other for about at least 20 minutes. You'll be able to like mind meld.
Before then, it seemed everyone piloting a Jaeger. They were, you know, of the same race, same family, known each other from birth. And then it just divulged into, oh, it doesn't matter, just two people.
As long as you get on.
At the end, it's like, how are we going to be drift compatible? Oh, I've worked you out already. All right, and I've got no memories or emotions.
Yeah, what was it? I bring nothing to the drift. What are you? Is there something wrong with you? Have you had
over the bottom? I hit myself in the head with a brick before I suited up. I spent last night hitting myself my head against the wall, so I remember nothing. What was your name again? What's the mission?
So they throw these.
Holy Christ! Is that a kaiju?
they throw these poor people together who've known each other for at least 20 minutes. They have a fight to see if they're compatible.
And that turns out they're compatible.
Apparently, if you're, like, fighting each other, that means you should probably fight inside a giant robot
together. Yeah, fight together with a robot, yeah, obviously. Yeah.
And so, they come, right, let's get the robot program going again. They plonk two of them in the robot. Right, we'll have a test. You've got a giant, like, nuclear-powered super robot.
Yeah.
You've got two people who've known each other for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Who are neither. One of them has never been in a robot before. One of them hasn't done it for 5-6 years.
And they
would you chuck them straight in it and go, right, let's have a test battle run, let's see how it goes? Or would you do a mock up in the lab, just test all the equipment, have a, you know, do a dry run?
I also don't get why he resisted them working together for a while.
And then was like,
it wasn't like, well, you're probably not going to be drift compatible. Oh no, we're drift compatible. Well then, no. Anyway, why?
But then,
I'm in charge. All right, you're being petty now. You're just throwing your toys out the pram for no reason.
But then, yes.
But yeah, that's it.
But then actually,
Go on. Yeah. Go on.
But so they just jump in. They jump in it. Jump straight in it, and then, you know, it's obviously quite a difficult thing to do. It goes a bit wrong.
She's got a mind epi. She forgets that she's controlling a giant robot and thinks she's actually back in, you know.
She's started having flashbacks.
Yeah.
You want to be pretty focused.
Yes.
She starts like powering up the battle cannons. She's about to blow up the whole base, and you're just thinking like, why didn't you have a practice?
Why didn't you take it out into the ocean so that if it did detonate, it wouldn't kill everyone and ruin the entire building, plan, everything?
I practice, like, if I'm going to, I don't know.
Let's run a simulation. Oh, she started, like, tripping out a little bit. All right, well, we need to make sure we watch out for that next time. It's not put in the robot. It's good. Yeah. Good job we didn't put in a robot straight away, so she just destroyed everything.
Just think, like, all right, for a driving test.
Yeah.
How much would you practice to drive a car?
Do you want
to
drive a car? Do you reckon this person's able to teach you? All right, get in the car. Start driving.
Get in the car. Drive.
Drive. Oh, and by the way...
Oh, my God, we crashed!
By the way, the car's got a nuclear reactor, so be careful.
And it's 500 feet tall.
Yeah, and it's...
And it's piloted by two of you at the same time.
And it's got a plasma cannon. In fact, it's got two plasma cannons. You've got one in each arm, so, you know, be careful.
Yeah, so that was...
So, yeah, that resolves itself because, you know, their drift compatibility draws them together and they're able to overcome the nightmares.
For some reason, they get on in the head and so they decide, yeah, we will go giant robot fighting together, hunky-dory.
And then, the kaijus, yeah, okay, so the battle with the kaijus has gone on for 10 years.
Yeah.
And they have a category system.
Yeah.
So
when one appears, they say, is the category 3?
That's a big one. The next one's, that's a big one as well, so that's... Yeah. They're category ones. Oh no, that's a bigger one. So that's category two, and they've only got to category 5.
Yeah,
I would have thought that. No, that sort of grading system didn't really work. It's well. Also, I think they explained it that the events were increasing exponentially. Lots of big monsters coming out, and they send Jaegers in to fight them. So
is this when they have their first kind of fight together?
The proper fight, the proper one.
Oh, when they jump in there, you know, a couple of big monsters appear, and they're like, "Quick, everybody, get in your robots!"
Oh no, two kaiju have appeared. Everyone go, apart from you two. You two aren't allowed because
you guys, the aforementioned kind of hiccup when they threw them straight in the robot and they nearly destroyed everything. They're like, oh, okay, now we're going to be careful.
Yeah.
Because now, we know that you guys aren't trustworthy with the robots.
You definitely can't do it.
Oh, God, let's send everyone else in. Then you guys can stay behind and learn your lesson.
You two go off and fight. You watch their backs, but don't get involved. You're just going to stand back and watch.
So they've got all the others in. You've got the three brothers with their like, you know, two arms and the fetus arm, and then they've got knives on the end of the arms.
Yeah, the buzz blades.
Yeah,
cool.
You've got like, oh, okay, yeah, we've got three arms. No, we've got three arms with knives on the end. But then they're killed.
They're killed, yeah.
Almost straight away.
Yeah, the kaiju just grabs the face, crushes it, and all three of them are dead straight away.
Yeah, it's a surprising moment of darkness, actually.
Yeah, it's quite...
Otherwise, lighthearted film.
Everyone
then the Russians are...
Everyone just goes, oh, they're dead. Yeah. Russians, you'll go.
The Russians are then kind of crushed and drowned. Again, I was quite like, whoa, that's a bit... That's come out of nowhere. That's a bit dark.
Yeah.
You're watching these two people. It dwells on them as well for an alarmingly long time. That shot hovered on the two of them drowning. I was quite surprised.
Mm. It was a bit upsetting.
Yeah, so then they're dead.
They're dead.
And then...
The other one. The other guys, the one... Yeah. So there is a Jaeger that's...
A special one. Jaeger. Special like, monster.
It's kind of like the category 5 of Jaegers.
Oh, it's a nasty.
It's a big one.
It's a bad one.
And for some reason, they've only built one of these instead of building, I don't know, 10.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, so this is getting bad. So we've got 4 or 5 crews. Let's build 5 category 5s. So we've got a decent amount to deal with whatever's coming.
No. Let's just build a few small robots. Just some small ones. Because it's not a big problem, is it?
No. It's not like it's been an ongoing war.
We still need money for the hookers and cocaine. But
that's why everyone's getting nosebleeds. So, yeah, this drift compatibility business, if you do it too often or something, your nose bleeds and...
Because it's hard.
It's hard, yeah. It's difficult to be in someone else's mind.
Sometimes if I get a nosebleed, if I drive for too long in the car, if I go on a really long journey on the motorway, I get a nosebleed. God, that's kind of similar. But where were we? Oh, a big monster appears
big
and
monster.
For some reason creates an EMP. That's an electromagnetic pulse.
There's one... That is just like a giant sort of gorilla type thing.
Yeah, he has a wrestle.
That can wrestle and create an EMP, but only a one-off EMP.
Yeah. Oh, and then there's one which spits acid, but the EMP one just goes... Boo! EMP.
And it's just got big hands. That's the only thing it can do. Then the other one, and it's got spitty acid, it's got a tail with a claw on it, and then when shit got real, it could just sprout wings and fly.
Yeah. Although that doesn't happen yet. So like,
all right, okay, yeah.
So this one monster that does the EMP and then knocks out all the robots and then the whole base, and they're sitting there like, oh my god,
I'm pretty much
oh
the god, city.
What, oh my god, what are we gonna do? Like all the giant robots are sitting dead in the water. The whole base is blacked out. It's like
two pilot crews are dead.
We are screwed.
Like the main crew are just like, oh, we're screwed. Right.
And then our lead guys, the guys who've been told off for, you know, kind of almost destroying the base for doing their bad driving test. Don't worry, sir. Our giant robot, it's analog.
It's analog.
Nuclear.
At that point, the guy in charge should have just slapped him. No, it's not.
I feel this point actually, for me, sums up the entire film.
Yeah, a nuclear reactor is analog.
That line kind of sums up the, like, yeah, it's stupid. Go with it. You like this? You like that? What he should have said, what I would have liked to hear is, don't worry, sir, we can go. The gypsy, she's analog. Steam.
Steam.
120 traction engines went into building her. It's got flywheels the size of your head.
We're going to need a 10-man team to shovel coal constantly.
Just drags a giant sledge behind it.
A coal sledge.
We can go, we can save the guys, but it's going to take about 48 hours to get a head of steam on her.
Yeah, we have to build up the pressure. So basically, the robot, even though it's been hit by an EMP pulse, is able to work.
Alright, because nuclear reactors don't require any electricity to start.
One of the greatest lines,
the robot. Yeah.
Definitely, when it's the two guys stranded in the robot that's been hit by the EMP, it's like, right, we're stuck inside this robot.
Oh yeah, in fairness, their Australian accent is, if anything, worse than Booker's. So
mine's pretty good.
Well,
it's only us between that thing and a city of 1 million people.
You're right, Dad.
So we can stay here.
Yeah.
Or we can go outside and do something really bloody stupid.
Cool, blimey. Let's go and do something stupid, eh?
So they decide to shoot it with flare guns.
That's actually pretty much verbatim.
Yeah.
We could have played a little recording in the film there.
Jesus.
But, so they get the old nuclear-powered one involved. They have a bit of a tussle. It's
not going well. They start getting, like, beaten about because they're trying to go fisticuffs.
Yeah, they're having a bit of a wrestle. Actually, at this point, I would like to go to the point that all of these giant robots, they're a traditional view of a giant robot. They look like a dude in a suit of armour.
Yeah.
It's like, it looks like a big chunky man, you know, arms, legs, chest, head, like wearing like battle armor or something, and they walk around, they're bipedal.
Yes.
All of the monsters, as aforementioned, come out of the sea. They all come from deep in the sea. They all swim around and they kind of cause some havoc upon the coasts.
Yeah.
Would you or would you not say that, you know, when you go to the beach, sometimes have a little paddle, quite difficult. Like walking kind of up to your knees, up to your thighs in water. You're on your hind legs. That's quite tricky. What? If a shark, basically, they're like giant shark, octopusy, turtle things, leapt at me out of the sea, I would probably poop myself and die. I wouldn't be able to, like, fight and wrestle with it. Being on two legs is not the best place to be when you're having water-related fights.
No, not when you're fighting something that can swim pretty well and you're just wading through knee-deep water. Knee-deep being, you know, probably 100 foot of water.
Yeah, because it's all, like, relative. But why didn't they just make giant robot octopuses?
Well, okay, well, why didn't they just make giant robot cannons that shoot them straight away?
Well, because, well, okay, yeah, a better idea is you can, you know, put your little fence round the actual rift, like the gap in the sea, but that's a whole different
thing. Why didn't they have, like, airships that just stayed around the rift, so as soon as something came out, they track it and they just bomb it and bomb it with the same weaponry that you have on a Jaeger?
That's a good point. They do actually, all the giant robots are doing is cuddling the monsters and then shooting them.
They're breaking themselves on the robot in a hope that breaking the robot on the kaiju in a hope that it breaks the kaiju first.
If this was a giant robot octopus, then it can, like, swim amazing, because, you know, octopus has got these on the tentacles and, like, swoosh through the water, and then it can grab onto your monster and, like, crush it. It could make, you could have knives and like sharp bits on all the tentacles. You could, like, slice it up. You could have guns on the end of the tentacles.
But equally,
you could have tentacles made of guns, anything.
If you catch the octopus off guard, you know, it wouldn't be hard to imagine just pulling all its eight legs off one by one.
Well,
because it rips off the arms of the Jaegers fairly easily.
Well, yeah, but only because it doesn't have enough arms to defend itself with. If it had more arms...
More arms doesn't always work, as we found out with...
with one with three arms.
Yeah,
but that's because it was the fetus arm, like, little one hanging out of his armpit.
Okay, so...
They're having a fight.
The analogue Jaeger is having a fight with the big one.
It hits it
with shipping containers, which are obviously stronger than its own fists.
Then it goes off and picks up a barge, ferry.
Well, I think it's slightly bigger than a ferry.
It's like an oil tanker or something.
Yeah, but something that carries crates across the ocean.
Oh, yeah, one of those ones, like, those big ones, you pile up all of the, like, cargo crates. They look like they've got Lego on top.
And it's just using it as a stick.
Yeah.
Even though it's definitely hollow and would have snapped.
Yes. Which then, like, while we were watching the film, like, we actually said, like, well, why don't they give the giant robot swords?
He's
picked up a massive boat and is using it basically like a practice sword to twat the monsters round the face with. And we're like, oh man, if only they built the robots with a built-in, like, sword, because a sword would be a really good idea, wouldn't it? If only that boat was sharp and couldn't be dropped.
The elbow rocket as well. Because there's a point where they sort of...
That was cool.
They line it up and go, elbow rocket.
Elbow rocket!
big sort of powered punch. If they combine that with the sword, that would have gone through the monster's face, no problem.
Yeah, so they've been fighting for a good, like, call it 10 minutes now. 10 minutes, quarter of an hour.
At which point they beat the first one.
Is it Hong Kong they're fighting over?
Somewhere.
They've destroyed most of Hong Kong by wrestling all over it and throwing monsters on it.
We've got a plasma cannon. Let's use that. Let's destroy it with a plasma cannon.
They've picked up the boat and they've smacked it around the face a few times.
They've wrecked buildings. Apart from a Newton's cradle. They didn't break that, but they broke everything else.
I like that. That was...
Where the fist comes through the office building. Yeah. Stops just enough so it taps the Newton's cradle, starts it off, and then pulls it out. No, I didn't like that. I thought that was just ridiculous. They're just taking the piss.
They're at the end of their tether. We've got nothing left. We have.
No, because they beat the first one with the plasma cannon, then the second one turns up, like, oh shit, right. Let's get this going.
Oh, this is awful.
So, turns out they've got a massive store of liquid nitrogen that they're able to use to freeze the monster and crush its tail, so that's no good. They pull out its acid sack.
It shoots acid at them, which they dodge.
No, that's what...
It shoots acid out of its mouth and he dodges it, and then he turns around, looks it straight in the face, and then puts his arm in its mouth.
In its mouth. And the hand doesn't disintegrate or anything, just like pulls out the acid sack, but he just chucks it. He doesn't just then sort of cram it into the monster.
I was expecting the arm to melt.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because
it melted the Russian robot.
There's a huge jet of acid which melts the skyscraper, and he turns about, right, you're going to get it. That was my favourite skyscraper. He puts his arm straight in there.
Pulls out what looks like it's like tonsils, chucks him away. At which point the monster goes...
Maybe they weren't actually like trying to destroy anything. Maybe he was very sick.
Oh, that looks infected. It's bleeding pus everywhere. We need to take that out.
I've just thrown up on that building.
At which point the monster, kaiju, remembers it's got wings.
Yeah, he's like, he's taken out my tonsils, I can go home now.
It's a bit of a Batman moment, just flicks its wings out, grabs the Jaeger, and just, you know, flies off into space with it.
Yeah, the monster starts flying up so high that it's carrying the robot off into space, into the outer atmosphere.
At which point they're like, what are we going to do? We've got nothing we can do.
They've been fighting for 20 minutes, and they've had, like, their cannon destroyed, they've used up all their liquid nitrogen, and then the monster just picked them up and then flown off. You know, they've dropped their boat bat on, and they're like,
what are we going to do?
Now we've got nothing.
The hero
if 10 minutes ago we thought we had nothing, now, that's it.
We're completely fucked.
That's it, mate. I'm glad they did my will before we left.
At which point the lady goes, oh, what about the sword button? the one that's right in front of us on the console, the sword button. It's just a button with sword on it.
It's a picture of a sword. It's in the middle of the dashboard in front of them. It's a massive.
About the size of, you know, a fist. The perfect fist size. So, whip out the sword, punch the sword button. At which point they do. And
a huge sword. Swing out of the arm, just like, you know, like Wolverine claw, straight up out of the arm. And you know, they stab it.
They slice it
straight in half. The sword pops out, slice it in half.
Easy peasy. But they're pretty much on the edge of the atmosphere at this point.
Because they fannied around, waiting for so long to press... No, we can't press the sword button yet. No. It's only for very, very special occasions.
Could you reckon, like, you know...
They fall
all that distance, and they have to release some of the nuclear energy in their chest from the analogue thing in them to try and...
Slow them down.
Propel them.
Now they're falling, like, from the edge of space.
They land, and everyone's like, right, regroup, ready for the next attack. Do you reckon on the way back to the base, the guy's just like, why didn't you mention the sword earlier? Why were we punching it and hitting it with, like, you know, boats? I hit it with a boat. You remember I hit it with a boat? Why didn't at that point you say, don't use the boat, use the sword?
Why?
In fact, use both the swords. My arm's got one as well.
Why didn't no one mention this?
Yeah.
I've been driving these massive robots for like 6 years. I was one of the best, most renowned fighters. You know, me and my brother, we were the greatest. People like revered us across the world. Literally no one ever tell us that there's a sword in the arm.
A really sharp sword that can cut through kaijus.
Yeah. I got asked so many times, what's that massive like button in the middle of the dashboard? What's that do? What, the one with the sword on? Yeah, no, don't touch that, mate.
Doesn't do anything.
No, it doesn't do nothing. Leave it well alone.
Leave it.
Does it? But it's got a picture of a... No, it doesn't have a picture of a sword.
No.
It's pointing to the button above it. That's an arrow.
It's pointing at your co-pilot.
It's just pointing at all the buttons up above it to remind you that there's a lot of...
Other buttons to press.
Other buttons. You've got lots of buttons to play with. Don't you worry about
that. A lot of buttons that don't really do anything. Controlling the Jaeger with, like, cool arm gadgetry and walking gadgetry and stuff. But there's all these buttons that don't really do anything.
You've still got buttons. You need buttons. You still need buttons.
Oh, we're going to do the visual sensors. Visual sensors on.
Rather than, you know, I'd switch them straight on.
Yeah.
I just have them on all the time. To be honest, I'd have the sword out.
But yeah, so...
I wouldn't bother... Why is the sword retractable?
Why don't they just have a big sword they're carrying anyway?
Yeah, why do you need to make the sword retractable? In case like, the monsters decide to, like, oh, I'm terribly sorry about all this. It's been terribly sad. Let's just shake hands.
They don't want to seem menacing.
Let's shake hands and let's think nothing more of it. I'm really sorry. We're off home now. I mean, no bad feelings, though.
Sorry about the rift business. Terrible misunderstanding.
Let's have a game of cricket before we go. No, I'm sorry, mate. We can't have a game of cricket because my hand is actually made of swords.
That's right. Use the sword as a bat.
Oh, see, actually, so there you go. You still could have an arm made of swords. and you'd be fine. Rather than...
Although the animation of... It was like, they called it a chainsaw, so a part of me was hoping, you know...
A giant chainsaw.
But no, it was a sort of segmented sword that when it was fully out would just retract a bit so it would all lock into place.
Like a flexi-sword.
A flexi-sword.
A kind of flaily thing.
Very cool-looking animation.
You know.
But ultimately, why don't they just have it out all the time?
That pained me. That was... I may have shouted in indignation at the...
You screamed and cried.
At the screen at that point. That was really upsetting.
I assume if you'd had a mouthful of wine, you just sprayed it
in the mouth. It's just that moment when there is nothing left. What are we going to do? They're gazing longingly into each other's eyes. And she's going, no, we do have one more thing.
The swords.
For my family. Presses the sword button. Swing! What the fuck is that?
You stupid... bitch, why didn't you mention this earlier? Look how easy it went through it.
Think of all the time and the effort.
It went through it like a knife through fucking butter.
And the billions and billions of dollars. Think how much...
The human life cost.
The human life cost of, like, why didn't we just start off with this sword?
Why didn't everyone just have a big sword and just cut them up straight away?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a hand coming. Shing. There it goes.
Why didn't we just, like, you know, make a kind of a sea urchin made of swords and roll it towards the monsters?
Yeah.
That would have... Actually...
What it is,
oh
get,
my, oh my
or,
God!
Or the helicopters, that carry the eight. So like you, these massive, you know, multi-ton robots, just carried by like three or four helicopters. Why don't they just carry loads of swords and just hover over the kaiju, just drop swords on them?
Well, I'm thinking, you know, all the monsters emerging out of this rift at the bottom of the sea.
Why don't they
just put a cap up with lots of like swords facing downwards over the rift. So when the monsters like fly, kind of, they swim like really powerfully up out of the rift. They just fly straight into this kind of
like a shredder.
I mean, I'm picturing something like an upturned bed of nails.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they kind of swim straight into the top. Job done. Job's good. You just cement that over.
They could get a cap on it, Jigsaw from the Saw movies.
Yeah.
He could definitely come up with some kind of sword mechanism so that as they swim into it,
like a paper shredder. So that you, like, yeah, like crisscrossing giant chainsaws or something.
So two interlocking rows of blades facing downwards, and as the kaiju swim into it, they sort of go upwards, and the pressure on the blades comes more and they just shred themselves
like a weird bear trap paper shredder.
Do you ever see any of the Saw films?
Yeah.
Do you see the one where it's like the first mechanism he made? There was the guy, he was strapped in a chair and his face was just sort of, he had a load of butcher's knives on there. And
well, that's nice.
He had to get out of the chair by pushing his face with these knives.
Oh, wow.
But if they did that to the kaijus, it would have worked.
See, if only they watched more films.
If they just got that guy in, you know.
Got that guy. I don't think he's actually, like, he's an actor.
No. Just, you know.
Yeah.
Well, just say stop murdering people and come and,
yeah,
you know, design us.
Yeah, but it's not like.
Yeah, but someone came up with that idea. Whoever came up with that idea is like,
that's
stop
true.
Being, stop, you know.
That's freaky. Did anyone, like, stop when they were making the Saw films? Like, who wrote this?
Who wrote this? Oh, it's Dave. He's in the closet. Asphyxiating himself while he masturbates.
Hello, I wrote the script. Did you enjoy it?
No.
Good. That's what I wanted. Great.
So back to the story.
Sorry,
the impeccable story.
Story.
Of...
That's little air quotes there.
It's
tiring me out thinking about it. It's actually
they get the robots back,
hurting my head.
Back to operational capacity. They've come to the scientists have come to the conclusion that they can just, even though it hasn't worked before, they can just chuck, they can lob a nuke through the rift and it will sort all the problems out. You know, sort of the classic American way of dealing with.
You
problems.
Know what we've tried for 10 years? What, chucking a really big nuclear bomb at the big opening where the monster come out.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
that. What if, okay, instead of chucking a nuclear bomb at the rift, we take a really, really big nuclear bomb. Okay, wait for it, and chuck it at the rift.
Chuck it at the rift.
Chuck it at the rift, but well, quite hard. Quite hard.
Well, Field Marshal Haig, this plan is flawless.
Do you know what makes it better? We've got less giant robots than ever before. Most, they're kind of half broken. And then the people have only been driving them for 20 minutes. And they nearly broke it earlier. And they don't know about the saw button.
And the one of the pilots broke his arm, so he can't use it. So the commander, he's going to go in.
We're sending Captain John. He's got nosebleeds because of all the coke that he's done.
Yeah.
I presume... There was some reason. It may have been to do with radiation.
Yeah, with radiation. Like, they're able to build these giant robots, but they haven't worked out that you need to shield people from radiation.
Hang on. So, wait. Yeah. So, they've got these giant robots that are powered by nuclear reactors. Not by steam, as I wish they were. Big, massy Ferguson traction engine.
The one called Gypsy.
They're all walking around in the harbour, like, because the monsters are coming out to, like, kill all the people living on the shore. So, it's basically just like an unshielded nuclear reactor just meandering about.
Well, I think at that point they remembered that causing nuclear reactions creates an awful lot of radiation. But before, when they built the first few, they thought, right, we're going to focus all our energy on building the robot. Should we protect the pilots from the radiation? What are you talking about? Just make sure the arms move.
Okay, so by the time of Pacific Rim, by the kind of narrative we're following, everybody has already got radiation poisoning from
the last person, not the first pilots.
But what about the civilians? Just the people that the robots are walking over and, you know, walking around.
I assume that whenever a robot goes near a city, the ensuing fight kills everyone in the area.
It doesn't matter.
So no one's been around to notice the radiation leak.
You might as well just not bother with the robots, really. Could we cut out the middle, man? Just set off a nuke.
Oh, no, what? Yeah, yeah.
If you're going to kill everyone with nuclear radiation anyway...
Beat them at their own game.
Yeah. Ha! Checkmate. Ha! Yeah, you can't kill everyone in this city because...
They're already dead.
Yeah. We nuked them yesterday.
Sounds like an M. Night Shyamalan, like, idea.
We saw you coming. Yeah.
We nuked
Earth, and we're living on the moon.
Uh-oh, there's a rift on the moon.
I'll teach you.
What? There's a rift on the moon! No! Right, so they come to the conclusion that they can just walk a nuke up to the rift and drop it through and everything will be hunky-dory. But oh, wait.
There's some scientists, the two researchers, the only two.
The researchers.
The budget has been cut so much.
There's one who's only using maths to work out what's going to happen.
And only maths.
Only maths, but he's filled up 10 chalkboards with it.
He had a lot of chalkboards.
To realise that the time that they were coming through was sort of decreasing by a certain amount, which you could work out with one equation, but he took him...
You probably could have worked out with a watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
A calendar and maybe a watch.
They had a big watch that was doing a countdown.
They were literally counting it down.
They just paid attention to it.
They even said, "We've got a countdown timer to when the next one's going to come because they're quite regular." What's this guy doing? Guys, I've worked out that they're really regular. Well, that's the whole point. We know that.
He was the only, was he the only British actor? That's probably why they were paying attention to him so much, because he just sounds smart.
The general is.
Oh,
British.
Yeah.
What's his name? I can't remember. He did.
He played Luther and stuff, didn't he?
Yeah, he did the documentary about driving really quickly recently. Fascinating. He met some Norwegians or something.
Driving
isn't
that fun. Jaegers are fun.
What about driving Jaegers? But don't drive once you've had a Jaeger, because don't condone drink driving. That's another matter.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. Fine, I guess. I mean, it's a political hot topic. There's no point in discussing it now. We've still got Jaegers and kaijus to talk about. But drink driving.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We got to the important point of the two researchers are doing them.
One's using math. The other one's decided, right, so this mind-melding thing we're doing so we can control the robots. What if we did that with one of the kaijus so we kind of work out what's going on over there on their side?
We can see into their minds.
Don't do that.
That'd be a terrible idea.
If you link your head with your one brain with the big kaiju mind, you're going to get destroyed. Why not do it with two people? Or four people? Or 10 people?
I'm going to be honest. They're literally going to destroy the world.
Yeah.
I mean, you can use literally quite a lot with this film, because the whole idea is it is an actual apocalypse.
Yes.
And everyone is going to die, so you might as well do something like that. I'm going to be honest. If you've got a couple of people who are willing to do that experiment, you'd be like, yeah, all right, fair play.
The guy in command is
we're running low on options. We're all going
to
die.
That's it. The guy in command is very adverse to anyone. Like, I think if we try this, we might get some more information. No, don't do that.
No.
Why?
No.
I'm in charge.
We can't risk it.
Can't risk it. Risk what? What are you talking about?
Risk what? We've told this. Apocalypse Tuesday is coming up.
Yeah. See the big clock? We've literally got 2 hours left. But so they get to the point where they one of the kaijus is pregnant.
Plot happens.
They get a brain. They get a little brain that they can connect to.
Yeah.
Two people connect.
They do some
like,
science.
Uh-oh, the plan's not going to work. Well,
science happens, and they realise that the link that they send the monsters through only works for the monsters.
If I was to say to you a barcode, would you know what I was talking about?
Yes, I would.
So why is it justified for them to say, you know, a barcode that you get in a supermarket? I found that incredibly annoying. It's like they read them like a barcode in a supermarket. It's like, no, just say barcode. It's like, read it like a barcode.
A barcode is a thing. That's a legitimate thing.
Any group of people that are able to work together and build giant moving nuclear robots should be able to work out what a barcode is when you say a barcode.
Also, anyone watching would know what a barcode is.
Yeah.
I know, but my grandma would know what a barcode is.
You need to get a barcode.
A barcode.
What's a barcode? In the supermarket, the stripy thing that you boop.
A barcode? A bar something dogs? What? Barcode? Yeah,
there's no
I'm just
point.
Saying barcode.
There's no point in trying to understand.
No. So that's a little point there.
They realise that if they just sort of hold one of the kaijus and go back through.
Not a problem, we'll find a monster, cuddle the monster, jump down
through
the hole.
Yeah.
Nuke him.
But one of them, instead of the one that's attached to the nuke, it takes a bit of a pasting, so the nuke can't be released. So they're like, right, we'll detonate it here. No, grab a monster, jump through, then detonate it. But no, they detonate it there.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand that because. So the two of the big robots go down, and then the one like carrying the bomb that they were gonna like launch. Oh, we can't release it, so we can't launch it. Well, we'll detonate it here to clear a path to kill two monsters, so the other guys can jump down the hole and then detonate their robot.
So
why didn't that first one just do that?
Yeah, why didn't the one that was still working? The only problem with it was that it couldn't release its nuke.
They were standing next to the hole, like with a nuke. With a monster.
So let's go back a bit. So the two Jaegers have gone to the breach, and they're like, oh, so we need to sort this shit out. Then three kaijus have come through the portal, which is unheard of before. Everyone's like shitting themselves because
crikey, mate!
Only one coming through before.
Call blimey!
Then three come through. One massive one with tentacles and shit. Which basically, where you got your octopus robot idea from.
See, the monsters are like, octopus, that's the way you go. Tentacles.
Owning bum. It's basically owning bum with its tentacles. And the other one, the slightly lesser Jaeger, is fighting the other two. Basically pulls out his sword, kills one outright.
Yeah, the sword again.
It's swimming at it, it just cuts it straight in half.
That was a sword point.
Easy.
Really, they got the sword.
And then they get the sword in the other one, stick it in its head, and put its face on a bit of a volcano for a bit.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, it just gets beaten up for a bit. Its legs gets destroyed, one of its arms gets ripped off, and it's there, sort of dragging itself towards to help the other one.
We're a bit broken. Well, we're fine.
We're fine, but the nuke won't come off, so.
Yeah.
We're going to blow ourselves up.
Yeah, we're going to blow ourselves up. That's the only option left.
No, why don't... And also, didn't they have escape pods as well?
Yeah, like, this is such a massive, massive plot hole. I almost didn't even compute it when watching the film.
It was the third time I watched it. I had a lot of time to absorb all the problems.
Almost as big as the monsters.
So the Jaeger...
Because, wait, the
broken
whole plan
Jaeger
was to put the... Hang on. To put the...
I think the plan was to pull the nuke off.
Yeah, and just put the nuke down.
Pop it through
but
the hole.
But then they modify the plan of like, okay, we'll send this, robot number two...
That's already got a nuke in it.
Like, because one of them runs on nuclear reactors, obviously, it's kind of, we'll just throw the robot in. But yeah, why not throw the first one? I mean...
And in case the plan doesn't work and they still have the good Jaeger going.
I think you've got to kind of... This is almost too big. You've got to watch the film. It's quite difficult to make this little segment make sense. Because
it rewards
you
for its stupidity. The niceness in it. Like, there's a lot of like big fights.
It's quite silly, but that little bit towards the end there, that's actually really hard to explain.
It's the biggest plot hole in it.
It's so stupid.
So they have the initial robot, which fights the it's got the nuke on its back. It fights the big octopus one. The other one gets beaten up by the other two. Basically beats them. Well, no, beats one. Starts getting its ass handed to it by the other one. Then slowly, is very, very, very slowly dragging its way to help the other one, who's just stood there. Like, we can't unleash the nuke.
Let's blow ourselves up.
Blast was like, yeah, Dad would say that was a good idea. Like, he literally...
Good on you, Cobber.
He literally says, my dad would think that was a good idea. And he goes, no! No!
It's a stupid idea, Sam!
Stop!
Stop it! Just throw the bloody robot in the hole, then use the escape pod, exactly like the other guys behind you were going to do.
Set it on a
in
timer...
In 20 seconds.
Set it on a timer to detonate, and then get out of there in your little escape pods. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
And so, yeah, they blow up their robot, and then the guys behind them in robot number two walk to the edge of the hole, jump over
well,
the
no,
edge.
No, they don't walk to the edge of the hole.
Oh, they hobble.
No, they hobble most of the way, and then... It turns out all of a sudden they've got a jetpack that gets them the last crucial bit, which they could have used initially.
Yeah, they've got a jetpack.
But, okay.
Which they use underwater.
One of the kaijus... Yeah, don't... There's another bit about the water thing that's... Yeah, so they jetpack towards a kaiju which has survived a nuclear blast and is really annoyed about it.
I would be.
So it jumps on
it. I'd be beside myself.
And they shove, again, the sword... A useful super sword.
This
they
sword
just
is
shove through
this
the
amazing
space.
Sword. It just keeps getting better and better.
They then
use.
They then fall through the
10 years have been waiting to get that sword out.
They then fall back through the rift.
Pays for itself in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, it does.
Honestly,
Jesus. Do you reckon they initially had one sword in one arm and like, oh, that was really useful. Should we put one in the other one so that in case that arm gets ripped off and then that happened? I don't know.
I know that.
Maybe they had two swords all along and they were just fucking
up.
Idiots.
Let's move on from Swordgate.
Right, so they jump on the octopus thing, they shove a sword through his face, they go through the rift because the barcode reader is able to read the kaiju, and, oh, the Jaegers, oh, that'll come through as well, that's fine.
Yeah, so it opens up because they're cuddling a monster as they fall down and down deeper into the sea.
And then they unleash a bit of nuclear like power on it so it gets super...
They're kind of punching it and shooting it and stuff as they fall and tumble.
It's a bit of a wrestle.
It's very dramatic.
And I assume they fall into some kind of...
wormhole... thing, like a pan-dimensional corridor thing between universes or
do you reckon there was like no well there must have been no gravity there or a reduced amount of gravity?
Well, I don't know, it was, let's be honest,
because the robot was kind of falling.
The science was not exactly heavily explained.
Because they released the escape pods and they just go up through the rift as if it's nothing.
Go back to, don't worry sir, it's analogue, nuclear. Explain the whole film.
All right, but still, you...
Yeah, it's a trick. There's a lot of... The more you think about that, that end section is really quick because I think it's designed to actually be really, really pacey so you don't think about it at all.
Heroic moment where, oh, she's running out of oxygen. Here's the oxygen, then send you on your way. Why didn't you just keep the oxygen, send her on her way so she can get out in the open air quicker and he keeps the oxygen so that he's not... suffering and he's got a clear head so he can do the nuclear reactor quicker. But
yeah, there's a lot of fannying about and like, yes, we've done it. No, you haven't actually. You still need to set off the detonation. The entire point of this mission to save the whole world,
which is surprisingly easy.
Like, yeah, really easy.
Easy to set off a nuke.
Yeah, the override for the nuke. If in Alien, it takes the Sigourney Weaver about half an hour to like prime the ship to blow up when she has to do the manual override.
Well, it's this guy,
nowadays,
this guy just falls down a hole, like climbs up on a ledge.
It's right behind the cockpit. Yeah. One little switch throws that nuclear detonation started. Countdown
opens a hatch.
Countdown 59 seconds.
Spins it, pushes it back in. Oh, there's a bomb.
Let's go. Yep. We're primed to go, it's going to blow. Nuke. You've got a minute.
You've got a minute to get away from a nuclear explosion. Good luck.
So he pops out the other side of the rift onto the alien planet.
Job's a good one.
Job's a good one. Cracks the old escape pod. He shoots back through the hole
time. No. Just before they go on this mission, before all of this happens, they get in the guy and the girl get in the Jaeger. And he just goes, I've never really thought about the future until now. Never really been one for timing. That was his pickup line. That was his pickup line before they go on a suicide mission. To be like, all right, darling, I know you've been inside my head, so you probably already know that I fancy you. But
yeah.
I was going to say it out loud.
You can see that I've already been, like, thinking about your bits.
Yeah.
Because...
You've been inside my mind. You know I've been picturing you naked.
If it's not clear enough, I would love to bone you.
But when we get back from this suicide mission, if we get back, you know.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
If I know I'd said it earlier, you could totally, you know... You could have a good bye fuck or something. But no, No.
Yeah, we'll leave it. Come on.
They wait until they're on the escape capsules floating in the ocean waiting for the stupid helicopters to pick them up.
Yeah.
So they start boning.
even at the very, very end, the last few seconds of the film, it can't help being stupid.
You said like a fleet of helicopters find two people.
Yeah.
And they all miss them.
They've got the escape pods are floating up to the top of the sea. Everyone's jubilant, like the wormhole is closed, like the monsters can't come through anymore. The two of them are like snogging on the top and they're celebrating. As we're sending the choppers to come and get you. So they send a fleet. It must have been like, 20 or 30 helicopters.
I would say 30 helicopters.
What? Like, okay, what are all those helicopters going to get? They are not going to go and get the robots. One of the robots has been destroyed by a nuclear explosion, so isn't there?
Exactly, both
the
of them
other
have.
Robot... has is been destroyed by a nuclear explosion on another distant planet in another galaxy. So isn't there. So, like, 30 helicopters come to then pick up the only thing that's there. Is and they're flying, the two people.
They're flying in formation, so there's no way they're doing a search pattern, so there's more, like, higher. So they could have spread out in a giant line or a big swarm, so it's easier to find people. No, they're just
they
in
do?
A formation.
They just fly straight over them.
Straight over
straight,
it.
Straight, you see them coming over the horizon, a beautiful dramatic shot, they're having a little cuddle, a helicopter just carries straight on by.
One helicopter with one, like, bit of rope.
Yeah.
Come in, drops it down.
RNLI. Get them out there.
Seeing it's
get one of those shiny blankets
that was
on
it,
them.
That was it. Like it takes
skin some cocoa.
Three helicopters to carry a Jaeger. It takes 30 helicopters to carry two people.
They had five times as many helicopters to get the two people, and they weren't even looking for them. Oh dear.
The end.
Wow. Well, do you know what? It's worth watching if you haven't. And if you have seen it, I hope you've enjoyed our thoughts.
Our many thoughts.
It's one of those films, I think, the more you think about it... I'm not sure if you get...
The worse it becomes.
I'm not sure if you get more or less out of it as you question it more and more.
Oh, we've got a good hour out of it.
Yeah. You could go on. I mean, we were rushing.
Yeah, like there's the whole... sort of black market for kaiju bits.
Yeah.
People like...
And there's Ron Perlman wearing gold shoes.
Oh, his sunglasses were cool, though.
They were.
I want some of those.
Yep. Well, what else was there? There was the dream sequence where... Memory. Where everyone has astonishing sight. Think about that when you watch it. The little girl is on kind of like the main street. And the pilot of one of the super robots gets out of the top of the head, so he's standing on the head of the super robot, and they make eye contact, they look at each other like, oh man. She's like, oh man, a pilot of a super robot, and he's like, ah, oh, cute little girl. They must be about half a mile away from each other.
It's like standing on top of the building and smiling at someone.
Yeah.
and just being like, oh, sweet.
But there's, I mean, you could go on for some time. I mean... It's wonderful. What a film. What a film.
There's also the macho, like, sort of antagonist who he's
what,
just
the
a
guy
dick.
With the dog? Why is he allowed a dog in a military base?
He's allowed a dog in a military base.
Why has he got... He's got this bulldog.
He's also allowed to be a dick to everyone just because he thinks he can be. It's like, I pilot a Jaeger now. You used to pilot a Jaeger. That means you're a dick. It's like, all right, I'm here to help. We're all in this fight together. You know, it's us versus them. Nah, mate, you're a dick.
Have you heard of Apocalypse Tuesday?
Yeah, but I've got me dog to worry about, and I've got loads of food, so...
I've got me dog, mate. Where's he from? He's the Australian guy.
Well, I was pretty much an Australian.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah. More or less.
More or less.
There's his dad, he's like, I know he's a right shit, but, you know, he's my son, isn't
he? I've never known whether to give him a punch, a hug or a kick in the arse. Well, probably a hug, mate. You know, he's your son.
Yeah, obviously.
You've never hugged him. Like, you've done this kaiju drifting, but you've never hugged him.
Your son must be like, yes. What's it? Your son's like 30, say.
Yeah.
And you've never hugged.
But that's another thing. Like, when the two pilots are like, yeah, are you sure we're going to be able to drift compatible? Yeah, I've got no memories or emotions. Yeah. And you're just an egotistical, you know, asshole with daddy issues. But my dad's just over there.
Yeah, my dad and we're about to get in a nuclear powered robot. Like, I wouldn't say that. That's going to, like, trip him out. He's going to be really...
Although at the end, the dad didn't seem too upset that his son had just, like, nuked himself. No. Like, rather pointlessly.
Everyone else made it through. His son, for no particular reason, blew himself up. The dad was like, well, there
and
you
the,
are.
The nuke was ultimately pointless.
There you go.
Because it destroyed one of the kaiju.
Well, yeah, they could have cuddled it and...
Could have beaten it off. If those robots were good at anything, it was beating off the kaiju.
Oh, wow.
Especially when two kaiju were going at... When the two kaiju were going at one, like, one Jaeger, it did a really good job of beating them both off at the same time.
Okay, I see where you're going there.
It was like they're using both hands. They're getting the shoulders in.
Maybe that's why they didn't want to use the sword. They didn't want to be too rough. They want to keep it nice. Keep it civil.
There's merit in that, I guess. You know, each their own.
Oh, but I was quite glad that Ron Perlman appeared again in the epilogue.
Oh yes, he's managed to cut his way out of like a creature that's from another planet that has no oxygen on the inside. He stays in there for long enough.
Oh yeah.
He's able to carve it and say with a butterfly knife. He carves his way out of a giant creature that swallows him whole with a butterfly knife. First thing he does, he goes, "Oh, where's my shoe?" Not thank God I'm alive. Oh, finally I can breathe. Oh God, I'm out of there. No, where's my shoe?
Actually, that is another bit I thought of as well. When one of the monsters dies and it's like lying in the big city and they send in like a cheeky team to like harvest all the internal organs and stuff. And then walking around inside of the monster, there are colossal cavities in this monster. This monster is basically hollow.
Yeah.
These dudes are just like meandering around. It's like a cathedral in there.
And the suits look so stupid.
But what?
They look like more ridiculous than like the Victorian diving suit.
That's not how like organisms, like that's not how bodies work.
Well, yeah, no, they
don't
like
have big like gaps. There's not.
Well, yeah, there's no pressure on the inside. Well, there's.
It's not like there's not like a big hole inside of you. Like it's not like there's some skin and there's like a big gap. And then there's an organ. They're not kind of. I didn't quite understand, like exactly where they were wandering around inside.
No. Well, they were wandering. They were wandering in a place that had both its brain, and a womb. The womb was right next to the brain.
Yeah.
And we had trouble beating these things.
A brain womb.
We had trouble beating these things.
A broom. Oh my God, though, we found a broom. What's that? It's a brain womb.
A brain womb.
Please, get with the lingo.
Also, they're in oxygenized suits that are sealed, but he's still able to smell the inside of the creature. I thought that was stupid.
That was weird. Also, the suits look kind of
like
flimsy as well.
Yeah, very flimsy.
They look like the kind of suits you wore if you're doing some painting.
It smells like fish in here. You're in your own suit.
Yeah.
Oh, I smell like fish then.
That's just you, mate.
That's just you, mate.
I think a bit of me has died. Oh no.
Oh no, I brought a salmon in with me. Why? Oh, it's a long walk from its intestine all the way up to its brain womb.
I think
I was going to talk about the film I'd seen, which was Lucy, which was really good actually, but yeah. I don't think we've exhausted ourselves.
You're going to have to.
I'm feeling pretty angry.
Oh, I genuinely feel drained. I feel drained.
You look like you've aged about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
If you had aged right now by 3 years, what age would that make you?
You can go to hell.
No, you're just numbers wise.
I don't like you anymore. this recording is too long anyway.
Does it upset you that you've only got 13 years till you're 40?
All right. Oh, you're... Whoa.
I've had that. I hit myself with a thought like that, like, Does that make you feel a bit nasty inside?
Oh, my God. Yeah, but you've got 13 years and 2 months. Enjoy the 2 months.
I've already come to terms with this. This is fresh for you.
Have you?
13 years.
That's right. Closer to my pension.
Oh, I guess. You will die way quicker than me, though.
That's not true. I'm going to drown you in the harbour by this evening.
What with your old man hips and stuff?
I'll drag you. I'll hold you under the water. Don't cross me. I'll shake my frame at you. Zimmer frame. That wasn't a sexy reference.
I wouldn't mind you shaking your frame at me, actually.
Right, that's weird now.
Have you got 10 minutes to listen to about Lucy? Like, it was a very good film, actually. You poured me another whiskey, I think.
Might as well try and cheer me up after insulting me.
First of all, Scarlett Johansson. Is it Scarlett Johansson? The one
you just watched it?
I don't know.
I didn't see it.
I know her face, but okay, Avengers. The woman in Avengers.
Oh, the one woman that Marvel allowed to be in Avengers.
The only one that's allowed to be a superhero.
Oh, we should probably put a woman in, shouldn't we? Should we? Is there a woman in the kind of in the lineup?
There are women. But they're mostly
they have women in comic books?
Well, not really.
We could just invent one. All right, what can her superpower be? She's got some guns.
And she's hot.
She's quite hot.
And she's ninja.
And she lies.
Ninja gun hot.
See, the female member of the Avengers, her superpower is that she can lie really well.
Yes.
Wow, that is, you know, we are moving forwards in society, aren't we? Our representation of women is really forward thinking.
All right, okay, well,
but anyway, this Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson.
Film, I presume.
The idea of the film, well, the human brain only uses 10% of its cerebral capacity. And
apart from your...
Yeah, I use about 15 to 18%. I have transcended humanity thus far. But that's neither here nor there. She's in Japan or somewhere foreign. And some dude is just like... It starts off where she's just got this dude who's got a crappy cowboy hat. And he's all like, yeah, take this briefcase, take it in the hotel and give it to some bloke. So no. Go on. No. Go on. No. Go on. No. I'm walking away. No, no, darling, go on. No, go on, go on. No, I'm not going to do it. You take it in. I can't. The guy doesn't like me. Well, I'm not taking it in. Go on. I'm not taking it in. I'll give you $500. Still not taking it in. Oh, please. No. And so he just handcuffs the case to her. He's like, you fucking asshole. You're a prick. You're a fucking prick.
Does she know this guy?
She's been dating him for a week.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And she says, what's in the case? I don't know, paperwork. It's like, you're a prick, you're a fucking prick. So she goes in.
She's quite angry.
She goes to the reception and it's like, right, I've got Mr. Yang's case. Can you get him to come down? It's like, he wants to know your name. No, just tell him I'm with Richard. No, but he wants to know your name. Lucy? What's your second name? No, just tell him it's Lucy. So she's playing it quite safe. Apart from trusting a guy she's been dating for a week, explicitly. It sort of gets to the point where some... rather mean-looking Japanese/Asian people come down. They're very mean-looking.
Right.
They might be Thai. I can't
remember. Oh my god! Okay, that bit that's not important. Apart from...
say Japanese. We'll go Japanese for the moment.
Wow.
And they come down and they just walk up. They just sort of start shooting people in the lobby.
That's quite strong.
Yeah, quite literally walk out into this lobby, just shoot Richard outside, and...
good, he sounded like a real rotter.
Yeah, he's gone. They shoot two other people.
Okay.
And then they pay off the clerk, the guy behind the desk. They just chuck a load of money at him. And
what?
He just sort of goes, takes it and ducks behind the counter.
Why would you do that? Why would you shoot two people, then pay one off? You'd either do nothing and then you have to waste the money... or you just kill all three?
I didn't make the film. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I enjoyed this. I hope this me telling you isn't going to ruin it for me.
See,
all right. Okay. So we've just
dissected Pacific Rim. I mean,
So the clerk downstairs. They pay him off. They take her up in the elevator. They put her in a room. She goes in. She sees sort of two dead bodies on the floor. She throws up a bit.
It's gone from bad to worse.
Oh, she's having a bad day. She's having a very bad day.
It's awful.
And the leader of the group sort of just comes in, and he's got like some goggles on. He's got blood all over his face, and the guy he just sort of washes some blood off his hands. Sits down, lights a cigarette, just sort of tries to speak to her. And they don't have a translator in the room.
Oh, right.
So I think he either calls someone up or he calls the front desk to translate for him, and they have a conversation through a translator. It gets to the point where he's like, "Open the case for me." I don't know what's in it. It's like, well, I don't know what's in it either. Open the case. So he gives her the code, which goes, right, I'll open the case. And as she agrees to it, all the people in the room sort of like disappear to the next room, come back with blast shields. The two guys hide behind the wall. And she goes, but what's in the case? I don't know. It's safe. It's fine. Just open it.
It's probably right.
So she opens it. It's got four bags of this blue chemical drug in it.
Oh, right.
He's like, ah, cool, so it's the drug. He comes in, he brings in like what's clearly a smackhead, gets him to snort a bit of the blue powder. The guy sort of has a bit of a sort of reaction to it where he's tensed up and he sort of flexed out and gone a bit crazy, and then he just starts giggling and laughing. And they're like, oh good. And then they whip out a gun and shoot him. At which point
They... My least favourite Skaghead, anyway.
Yeah, he's never liked him. We had him hanging around. Didn't even know why he was here.
Skag Spoon Greg.
he did look like a Greg. He definitely. Like, thinking back to it, I remember thinking, like, that guy looks like a Greg.
He's a Greg.
Gaggy Greg.
Funny that.
But they then say, he wants to give you a job. And she's like, what are you talking about? Just let me go. I don't want a job. At which point they just knock her out.
See, she should have been, like, after the day that she's had, she should have been slightly more aware that they didn't actually mean we want to hire you.
You're doing something
and bring you into our employ. We'll write up a contract. We'll do you a pension fund. She just watched them shoot a lot of people, and then they've done whole blast shields, like they think he's a bomb, and then they've shot a guy in front of her, and they've gone, we want to give you a job. They're not offering her like a contract, we'll do like a 12-month placement, and then we'll kind of have a 4-week probationary period.
Not being reasonable.
At that point, you kind of jump to the, oh right, they're going to make me do something. Saying like, no, I don't want a job.
So
it's not really...
at that point, the narrative really shifts to Morgan Freeman, which I'm always happy about, because Morgan Freeman's just amazing.
You just improved this film 100-fold.
Right, of course. And he's given a talk about cerebral capacity.
John Pacific Rim was missing.
Morgan Freeman?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they...
Among other things. But anyway, sorry. I mean, you could say that for, like, Harry Potter.
It did.
Morgan Freeman.
It made all the Batman films better. So, yeah, absolutely.
True. See? Yeah, Batman.
But yeah, he's there giving a talk in, like, you know, looks like a big group of important people, all sciencey, and he's saying about how the cerebral capacity of, like, the brain capacity, well, the brain usage of people is about 10% at the moment, and I think that dolphins are able to access 20% of their brains, which allows them to cause them to develop sonar. It's not like they've invented sonar.
Yeah,
their brains gone better, and they've just got sonar, so they can identify fish.
But they can't use cutlery.
They haven't got opposable thumbs.
Tractors.
They haven't got the biggest brain. Right. They're just using the most
more
of their brain.
More of their brain.
They're using more of their brain. Okay. And they're able to do cooler shit. So it's like, if he makes a theory that if we're able to access and use 20% of our brain, we'll be able to completely control our body.
Okay.
Like, on an almost cellular level. Like, we could control our metabolism. We could, like, there's a point where she just changes her hair colour.
Really?
Yeah, it's curly and blonde, and she's straight and black.
By using the power of her brain.
Brain, that's right. That's right.
I'm not sure how much better than Pacific Rim this is in terms
of science. Just wait. So it cuts back, like, he's given this sciencey talk, and everyone's like, he's so clever.
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
I don't care what you're talking about, I just love you.
I love you, I wish you were my grandfather. And then it cuts back to her, she wakes up on a bed, she's like in pain and stuff, and she's got like a cut, she gets taken into a room.
It's gone badly.
And three other dudes have brought it. So yeah, in the suitcase, there are four bags of this powder.
Yeah.
There are four people brought in, and they've all had their sort of stomachs cut open, a bag of drugs put in, sewed up, and they've given a passport so they can go off to a different country and start selling this drug to people as like a new like super cocaine type drug.
Yeah.
She gets put in like a holding cell. It's like in the intermediate time before she goes to catch a plane to wherever she's going.
Is this by the bad guys?
Or... by the bad guys.
Oh, right, okay.
There's a tattooed meanie sort of dude who's in the cell with her, and she's like sort of comes round after being transported there with a bag overhead and stuff. And
feeling a bit groggy.
Wouldn't you? He starts feeling her up.
Oh, that's nice.
And
she's very friendly.
She just goes, "I'm not in the mood," and slaps his hand away. And he's just like, first of all, he smells his finger.
Oh wow, that's right? Classy.
He's touched a boob. He smells his finger. I wanted to explain that in case he went a bit further and but no, he sort of puts his hand down at the top a little bit, and it smells his finger, and just goes Lucy, grins, and then just whacks her in the face, and gives her a few kicks in the stomach.
Right.
Right above the scar where the bag is.
Right.
Right. So there she is. She's all in pain, and then she starts feeling something weird.
Yeah.
And it's the chemical has started leaking into her blood system.
Oh.
And it's like, I think they call it EH7 or something. And it's like, oh, this new miracle drug that's going to make people go apeshit.
Yeah.
And so she's got like half a kilogram leaking into her blood.
So usually you kind of like snort a little kind of cheeky like something of it. And then she's got a massive bag of it.
She's got a massive bag straight in the blood. And she has it. It's kind of like a...
Did she get the poops?
She doesn't get the poops. She gets.
Let's be honest, you get the poops, wouldn't you?
I would get the poops, but she probably has a better digestive system than me because she looks like she's in shape and stuff.
Okay, yeah, but that amount of drugs, something's, you know, if that into your stomach, that's going to make you feel quite ill. Probably going to throw up or like.
Well, she does. Poo quite she does like. What was it?
She have a little retch.
Oh, what's the film with the girl who's possessed by a demon? She like sort of spins around and vomits and crawls up the ceiling and stuff.
You've just made me forget the name of every single film
ever
made. Is it oh my god,
The Exorcist.
Oh, thank god,
The Exorcist.
Oh, that's terrifying. Why can we get there?
I don't know, it just
okay
happens.
Anyway,
so it's kind of like a crawling up the wall, crawling on the roof, but she's chained up and it's kind of like an exorcisty type twisty. She's like all in pain and
okay, so
but
she's
going up the wall and stuff
but not pooping.
She may have pooped, but
yeah. It didn't show that.
It didn't zoom in on a butt to see any like stain or anything like that. There may have been one. I wasn't looking at her, but I wasn't.
Yeah.
I wasn't. At that point, I stopped perving.
Yeah.
Well, because she then wakes up and she's all like super badass. The first thing she does is she's just got a chair next to her and she did one solid fluid motion, just sits up, sits in the chair. And just sort of like,
that's not that. I'm going to be honest.
Just wait.
You've started off really low key. I'm sitting on a chair right now.
But not as elegantly and as sexually as she did.
Oh, I don't know.
No, I know.
I'd argue.
You could, but you'd be wrong.
Well, I think you're sitting very nicely on
your chair. Yeah, I'm doing the same pose as her, so I've got an element of her sexiness.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You've kind of that's not amazing. You are just sitting.
Just wait.
A lot of people sit all the
time. She's just getting her thoughts together. Right. She's just had like a major. A few seconds ago, she was on the ceiling. She was just hanging from the ceiling.
As in literally?
Just touching it and hanging from it.
Wait, what, like Spider-Man?
Pretty much.
How's she doing that?
Because of this drug.
What do you mean because of the drug? Has the drug made her fingers and toes really strong?
No, she just has complete, I don't know.
Control
don't
over
know,
her
actually.
Fingers and toes?
Well, it wasn't even that. She was like, as she was writhing on the floor, and then writhing up the wall, and she started losing
gravity,
and then losing more gravity, so to the point she had to pull herself down with the chain.
Wait, the drug makes gravity not affect you?
The drug makes your brain super awesome. How have you not got this so far?
I'm just saying, no matter how super awesome your brain is, I'm pretty sure
gravity was
affecting.
So there's a whole bit that Morgan Freeman's talking about.
Okay, that's
he's like,
right.
So there's a 10%, like, you know, we've got 10%, this is what we can do with our brain. 20%.
Does Morgan Freeman say you can resist gravity?
Well, no, it gets to the point where he's like, you know, 20% we can have control of our bodies, 30% this is complete conjecture, but he thinks there could be control of other people and creatures.
If he said 40, that's right, if he said it.
At 40%, there could be control of objects, and one smart ass in the crowd goes, well, if that's possible, you know, let's just, you know, take it to the next level. What if they have 100% control of the brain? He looks terrified into the camera. He goes, I don't know, I'm Morgan Freeman and I don't know.
it
gave me a chill, you
know? That should be the line. I presume that's not actually the line he says in the film, but that should be, because can you imagine if he turned straight onto the camera, eyes straight into the camera? I'm Morgan Freeman, and I don't know. I've got a little shiver.
Yeah,
you can hear Morgan Freeman. Just take a minute.
Hear my
just
spine rattling.
Morgan Freeman saying that, just eyes straight.
He was looking right into my soul when he said it.
Yeah. He'd look inside, he'd give it a cuddle, he'd sit down and have a cup of tea with your soul, because he can do that in just a look, but I'm Morgan Freeman.
And I don't know.
That's a brown trouser moment right there.
But, so, I assume anti-gravity thing is...
Okay, well, if Morgan Freeman, if he says it's alright, then, alright, we'll move forwards. I'm just gonna note my dissent.
It has been noted. And it's been ignored.
Fair play.
No one's really been sort of subjected to the amount of drugs that she gets leaked into her system at that point. So it's like, you know, a doctor says to her later, you should be dead. It's like, clearly, stupid doctor. But she sat in the chair.
Or at least have a very bad case of the runs.
Definitely. Well, it's in her blood, not in her stomach.
Hang on, I thought the bag was in her stomach.
Well, it's sort of like intestine-y area.
Intestines, stomach, that's all the same kind of, you know, arrangement.
Well, it got into her blood because there was some cut. They cut into her, so therefore it must have leaked into the blood that way.
Oh, alright.
Alright?
I'm just saying... I know what you're saying. You know,
I'm kind of arguing the case for the film here.
If I eat a bad sausage... Or if I, you know, have a lot to drink, you know, one evening, or just, you know, a bit of a warm curry, or maybe if it's just a warm day.
But what if you injected warm curry straight into your veins?
Then
your brain would get better. You wouldn't poop.
Would it? My brain would get better if I injected curry into my veins.
This is what happened. What?
Wait, are you saying the drug's like curry? You said the drug is curry.
I'm just using your example, that's all. Just using your. I mean, I assume if she'd eaten it, she probably would have, like, crap blue for a month. But like, but no, it goes in her blood.
Make your tongue go blue. It's just like a slush puppy.
Yeah. So she sat in the chair.
Oh my god, maybe that's what it, you know, when you have a slush puppy and you like drink too much and your tongue goes blue and you get like a brain freeze. Oh my god, I can't like feel my brain. I feel like amazing and all the sugar. You think it's the sugar. You're like, oh slush puppy. Oh, I've had so much slush puppy. Oh, I'm just on a hyper.
But it's actually unlocking part of your brain. But because we're not ready for it yet, it's hurting.
Yeah, it's not a brain freeze. It's like, that's your brain, like, opening up, but it's like, ugh, that's that, you know, when she's, like arching her back and all that kind of, like, ugh, that painful bit.
That was like a brain freeze.
That's a slush puppy. Oh. That's a brain freeze. So this, actually, is probably, like, a documentary about slush puppy.
This is an uphill struggle for me, I've got to be honest with you. Like, trying to tell you this story, we're not even in the main plot points yet. And you're just fighting tooth and nail.
I am helping you understand.
You are helping nothing. You're making me... I enjoyed the film. I thought it was really good. And you're making me hate it now.
I'm just happy to help.
Help schmelp.
That's not a word.
You're not a word. Sorry, I'm being petty now. I'm upset. You've hurt my feelings. I'm just, look. Okay, so she's got superpowers because of the she's now got 20% of her brain, so she's all like
cool,
super strong and stuff. She's so
brain
she's there sitting on the chair all sexually and stuff. A guy comes in and she gives him the look, and he's all like, all right then. He comes over. He undoes his belt, and in one fluid movement, she grabs his belt and is able to sort of flick it off his trousers, but also spin him across the room.
Okay.
She then uses the belt to... as the guy comes in, he takes the keys out of his pocket and the gun, puts them on the table. She whips the belt around the table, pulls it towards her, gets the gun, gets the keys, gets out. Goes into the main room where there's a few other, like... I think we agreed on Japanese people, didn't we? And then she just sort of shoots them all, like, in a really cool, like, kind of Black Widow-y type way. Like, bam, 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 they're all dead. Takes the weapons, and then starts on her journey. She decides to, first of all,
People say, you know, she's a one-trick pony.
Yeah, but... in this film, she learns a few more tricks.
Oh, thank goodness. They'll come in handy for the Avengers sequel.
She talks about, you know, because her brain's getting better and her body's... She's able to control her body. She starts losing a bit of human emotion. So she's walking into a hospital with a silent pistol.
What if you do that? Most people will take, like, flowers or something.
She's walking
grapes.
She's walking in with a gun. She goes into an operating system. Operating theatre. They're like, you can't be in here. What are you doing? You shouldn't be in here. Stop. What? She's just sort of there looking at a CAT scan or an X-ray of the patient's brain, and she's just looking at it, and she just goes, "You need to operate on me. We're in the middle of an operation here." So she shoots the person on the table.
We're a bit busy.
She just goes, she just shoots the person on the table, rolls them off, and gets on. And she goes, "There's nothing you could have done for them anyway. The tumor had spread to their lymph nodes or whatever, and they were going to die."
Wait, so does she know a lot about medicine? Is she a medical student?
Because her brain's become super awesome.
Yeah,
she's able. She has this whole thing where she's able to access all the memories and...
Wait, what? Other people's memories?
Yeah, there is a point where she's able to access other people's memories.
Okay.
But that's later on.
All right.
At this point, she has... she's able to look at things and know them just by looking at them, and she in the car ride from the gang base to the hospital, she, like, learns Japanese or whatever just by listening to people on the phone. She looks at an X-ray of her head and is able to tell that the person's going to die because her tumour's too bad.
How could you learn to speak Japanese? Even if you, like, you wouldn't have the vocabulary from a car journey. All right, you could maybe work out...
She's able to listen to every single person outside the car as it's driving. She listens to every single conversation going by.
All right, come on now. This is getting out of...
Let me carry on. This is a bit I found very weird.
So I'm ready
she's
for this.
Still got the bag of stuff in her stomach. She's like, right, just cut it out.
Oh, wait, so some of it's leaked out?
Like, half the bag has leaked out.
Okay, right. It's a kilogram bag. Okay. So a little bit. This is what made it go a bit trippy.
Yeah.
But it's... Okay, right.
The doctor's like, do you want to go under anesthetic? She's like, no, just cut it out.
And
takes his phone and, like, calls her mum.
Yeah.
And she's like, mum, I feel weird. And he's like, "Oh, how's stuff? You know, how's the country you're in? And are you drinking lots? You sound like you're drinking lots." Like, "No, Mum, I'm not drinking lots. I just feel a bit strange.
I feel a bit funny.
I feel a bit funny, and I can remember everything." It's like, "What the hell are you talking about?" "Mum, I can remember everything. I can remember the cat we had. You know, the Siamese with the blue eyes and a broken tail. Like, how can you remember that? You were like less than one. So I remember it being really soft. I can remember the pain of my braces when I was younger. I can remember all your kisses on my face." And she goes, "I can remember the taste of your breast milk." At which, at which point,
ooh,
you just
didn't. Yeah, didn't need that, did you?
Yeah.
Just
Harvey and I at that point looked at each other like, ooh.
Wait, hang on. You looked at each other and were like, ooh?
No, it was a bad ooh.
Did you have a?
It was a bad ooh.
Did you have a like a bit of a bonding like a? Hey.
No, it was hey. Unless he felt something I didn't, but I was like, ooh, no, that's not.
Hey, you know, we could. Do that, breast milk.
Yeah, okay. I may have been trying to look at a vagina on a flat screen. I'm going to be turned on by the breast milk thing, you know.
Share that, okay. Could be a thing.
Should not be a thing, should never be a thing, shouldn't be a thing for anyone.
Somewhere, it is.
It is, I know, and it's not one of my personal things.
Okay, you don't have to be ashamed of it, that's cool.
Not ashamed, I'm grossed out by it.
You know, whatever you say, that's cool.
Do you have a penchant for breast milk? Not, is that what you're saying? Are you trying to subtly hint at that?
Not always.
No.
only on just cornflakes. Only just coming up to Apocalypse Tuesdays, because I like to treat myself before it comes. You know.
What's going to end? What would I like?
You might as breast well. Milk. You might as well, really. What, you know what? If the world was going to end, would you try breast milk?
No.
Apocalypse Tuesday is coming. It's, you know.
I'll be too busy, like, what with day all is the it? Coke is
it
and whores.
It's Thursday today, isn't it?
Yeah.
Apocalypse Tuesday is coming. It's on Tuesday.
Oh, so, okay. So
you've got Friday and the weekend. Would you not go like, yeah, I'm going to try everything that I can? I'd include breast milk in that. You'd say, I'm definitely going to die Tuesday, but no, I'm not going to try breast milk. No, I'm not going to add that to my list of things.
Am I definitely, is it just, what, it doesn't matter if it's just me dying Tuesday or the world.
It's everyone, it's apocalypse.
Well, that would require at least probably 70% of those days trying to track down someone who's willing to let me have some of their breast milk. I'm not willing to give my time over, my last precious hours, to all try right. and find breast milk that
okay,
I'm not exactly excited about trying.
All right, let's extend the Apocalypse Tuesday. It's like a month next Tuesday.
Oh, so I've got time to construct a list of things I want to do before the end.
You've got time. It's coming.
No, I still don't think... It still takes a lot of effort to try and pack down someone who will give me breast milk.
Yeah.
Enough for me to be like, is that breast milk? Sounds like
you've put a lot of thought into it.
No, this is literally the thoughts I'm having right now.
Okay, I'm just saying.
These are my... I don't know if I'm offending anyone with what I'm saying. I don't know if this is horrendously sexist. I'm just saying that if I had even a month left to live, I wouldn't spend any amount of that time trying to track down breast milk.
If you have any breast milk that you would like to send in...
Please don't. Don't
Adam,
ever.
For Adam to try...
Don't do
maybe
that.
He can do it as part of the next podcast, next recording. Then get in touch. We'll... Yeah, sort something out. I think that could be.
What do you mean, sort something out? No, are you saying that if a loony out there decides well, to send us a file?
You were just saying like, you know, not trying to find my fence. That's the line. That's the line of the fence.
I would say that someone deciding to like squeeze out some breast milk into some kind of receptacle and sending it to
you're random, the one who's drinking it.
I don't want to drink it. I don't want this to happen. And if I insult the person so they don't do it, then all the better.
Maybe we should leave it.
You think?
Maybe it's better for everyone.
Jesus. I feel a bit. A bit funny. Don't feel right. I don't want to think about that.
No.
Ugh.
So that's not a viable option. For
not
me.
A viable option at all. Okay. Would like if you got say you've got the weekend, you've got Apocalypse Tuesday. Would you go with the breast milk?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I wouldn't rule it. I think you shouldn't rule things out.
I should.
Well, you know, it's very close-minded of you.
Would you poop on someone of those days?
Would they? Yeah.
Like, if, I don't know, you know.
Maybe you teach you a lesson.
You've got... No. You've got...
While you're asleep.
You've got...
He's been hovering.
You've got your 4 days.
Hey, buddy. What? Oh! No!
You've ruined my 4 days.
Actually, that it would almost be worth it. On, like, you know, it's Apocalypse Tuesday. On possibly, first thing Tuesday morning... I'd be there, I'd be hovering. It's your last day on the earth. like sometime on Tuesday, maybe just after lunch. The world's going to end.
6 o'clock. I was thinking 6 o'clock in the morning.
All right. At like 5:30, I'd be hovering over you. I'd just be squatting. Hey, buddy, guess what? And then you'd start the last day on Earth, the last half an hour of your waking life. You know, just been pooed on.
I would be nowhere near you on my last hours on this Earth.
I'd track you down.
I'd be nowhere near.
Or would it? That's a good question. How much would somebody need to pay you to poo on you?
Where are they pooing?
What, is it going to make a big difference?
We'll see.
Let's say
shin.
Shin.
I'd do it for 200.
For £200, I could poo on your shin.
You poo on my shin.
Okay. What about chest?
We're talking 300.
Really? There's only £100 difference between shin and chest.
Yeah, but if you're going for the pretty zone,
okay,
we're
on
talking
the face,
about £550.
£550.
£550 to poop right on my face.
Ladies and gentlemen, for £550, you can.
I do get no. This you can. This comes with a clause. I get
to Adam's face. £550 isn't a huge amount of money. If
it is to me,
if that was your thing, if that was what you really wanted to do, poo on Adam's face.
But I get to say what you eat beforehand. Like, you have to get a bit of fibre in there so it's solid. I don't want you throwing up out of your ass on my face.
Wow, that's got made that quite weird. That was, yeah.
Oh, it wasn't weird already. I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't know. Just making a business arrangement.
I can't help it if I'm more comfortable with these.
God, can you imagine what we might get in the post next few weeks?
Breast milk. £550.
Requests. Poo requests.
Although, to be like, I don't know if this will make a difference, but if someone was to send me £550, like, in an envelope with a note saying, I want to poo on your face, I would just take the money and wouldn't get in contact with them.
Well, I, to be honest, that'd be quite a bad way to for a business request.
I know, but
to
I'm just
work.
Saying, I probably shouldn't have said that. Maybe someone would have done it. Anyway,
yeah,
that's probably how I would have done it.
Yeah, don't go, like, starting up your own business or something without some help, FYI.
I do need a lot of help.
Yeah.
Do need a lot of help.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, so back to the film. It was good. She got powers.
Awesome.
She took more of the drugs later. Like she got to the point where she's able to use telekinesis, mind control.
Is it worth watching? Is it very silly? What's the overall?
No, it's very serious. And
does it take itself too?
I think the thing that enticed me into the film was it had a very interesting way of filming.
Mm.
So that as she's initially going into the lobby with a suitcase,
yeah,
like it kept cutting to pictures of I think they were gazelle,
right,
on planes being hunted by cheetah.
Okay.
And so initially she's going in, she's like, she feels like the gazelle and the cheetahs are watching her, and as things get in...
Bit arty.
Yeah, very arty. I thought it was very cool. But then they did away with that as soon as she got her powers.
Yeah, quite cool.
And
it's quite cool.
There was a point where she's on a plane, she's got two laptops going, and it's like, the screen looks like, both screens look like the Matrix.
Yeah.
And she's just like, tapping away on both, just like, I know everything. And then
I have the internet. I am the internet.
Yeah, she's like, I am knowledge. And then all of her cells suddenly just have a problem with her and start trying to, like, her skin and nails and, like, on a cellular basis to try and get away from her.
Yeah, so she's like, she right. sounds like a right tool. Yeah. I know everything. Well, your own fingers would try to get away with you at that point. You're being quite full of yourself.
She does get hold of Morgan Freeman, and it's just like, all right, I read all your research. She's like, I don't think you did. Yeah, I did. I read all 6,732 pages. I can quote them all by heart if you want. So, sure, whatever.
So she's quite, quite forward.
Yeah, she's quite forward.
Like, brash.
Well, she's unlocked the, like, secret of ultimate knowledge.
Yeah.
In her mind. And then, yeah, it gets to the point where, she can sort of control
but
people.
But not perhaps of ultimate politeness.
Harvey made that exact joke in the cinema.
Really?
I'm not even joking. They have unlocked all their brain. Didn't unlock any of the politeness, though, did it?
Oh, see, there you go, we're, two peas in a pod.
You are both cunts. Yeah, maybe it's just because it's, half one in the morning and I'm having trouble fighting you because you're being an obtuse little bastard, but...
That's rarely true.
All right, how about Judge Dredd? Should we talk about Judge Dredd? We could be here all night if we did that.
Yeah, no, we can't do that. That's... something of its own. That's
another day.
We can't start mixing topics. I think we've done quite well. We've stayed reasonably on topic.
Yeah.
Apart from the breast milk fiasco.
And the pooping fiasco.
Yeah, poop fiasco. Apart from that, it's been fairly good.
I knew it was too much to try and tackle two films.
Yeah, I mean,
I thought you'd be more receptive. I thought you'd like. I thought you'd play along. I thought you wouldn't fight me.
I think it's because I was in the mood from deconstructing Pacific Rim, which was just so stupid that I was already looking for the holes. I was already, my mind was already lining them up.
Yeah, in fairness, I've only watched this film once. Whereas Pacific Rim, well, how many times have you watched that? Is it, that was the first time? Wasn't
first
it?
And let's be honest, probably the last.
If it's on, you watch it.
That's the thing. Now you say that, I know that I would. Yeah. You'd be drawn in by the robots, the explosions.
And the fighting.
You know how stupid it is, doesn't matter.
Yeah, because the first time I watched it, I watched about a quarter of it and thought, this is fucking stupid, I'm not watching anymore. Then I watched it all with Mark, and I was like, you know what, that was pretty fun. Then I watched it all again, and I was like, meh. And then, you know, I watched it from the point I came in. So, in total, I've watched it three times, and yeah, it's you know, it's doable.
Like, there you go.
You know, pop it in the DVD hole.
Yeah. Yeah. Pop it there, in the background. Have a little look. Little watchy.
Mm.
Lovely.
Though I've been meaning to watch Dark Knight again. Like Heath Ledger as the Joker. Oh, I've been, if I, to send me off to sleep, I just sort of put on all the bits from Dark Knight, all his bits.
You've got serious problems.
No, it, like, you just put it on YouTube, yeah. Put the headphones in, and you sort, yeah, of just, like, you lie on your pillow.
Yeah.
And you're watching him, you know, you're doing the pencil trick.
Yeah.
Saying all the stuff, and you just sort of gradually drift off to sleep.
Right.
To, like, the Heath Ledger murdering people.
Okay, yeah.
Like the pencil bit is...
Where do we start with that?
Well, you just type in...
Never mind.
You type in Heath Ledger.
Who's being purposefully obtuse now? Eh? Eh?
I don't know why you have a problem with Heath Ledger.
I don't have a problem with Heath Ledger.
Dead. You shouldn't disrespect the dead.
The man's a legend and a genius.
Absolutely.
You,
why,
however...
Why would you want to sleep to his wonderful words?
You, however, are neither...
I think I'm charming.
You're about as charming as Scarlett Johansson is polite in that film.
That's a mean thing to say.
Is it?
I can be polite if I wanted to.
I'm just going to let that hang for a moment.
I can.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I open doors for people. I...
Genuinely. You just genuinely stumped yourself that I open doors... Just looking up, around for a little bit of inspiration there. Nothing. That was it. Upon your initial kind of like, wow, that's beautiful. Is that a nice place to cover your clothes? Actually,
I think
that little
so.
Moment
think,
of self revelation.
I think I'm empty.
That actually, you're a horrible person, a terrible human being. So is that what we've learned from watching Pacific Rim?
That I'm a bad person.
That you're horrible. I wasn't expecting that at all, if I'm honest. I was expecting the conclusion to be to just start with the sword.
Well, if I'm honest, I didn't think it would take an hour and a half of talking to you to come to the conclusion that I'm a horrible person. I thought if you were on game, you could have reached that in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, I know. We were being quite focused on other topics rather than being horrible to each other.
Right, okay. Well,
it's a nice change.
Right, stop fucking talking now. Let's stop it. You know, with the gold that we clearly have already.
Yeah.
You know, that takes it to a nice round hour and 50 minutes of...
It's not really round, is it? That could have been a nice round 2 hours.
Look, I should say thank you for talking to me. Thank you, whoever listens to this, for listening. Just to say...
Good on you, mate.
My name's Adam. Adam Booker, Captain.
You're not captain. No,
Tom Bridges.
No,
I'm trying to sign off. Can you let me sign off, please?
We went over this at the beginning. You're not the captain. You never will be. I will never let you be the captain.
All right. Adam Booker and...
Tom Bridges, Captain.